Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level.
Mr. Burton, Casey Cunningham, how have you been?
Fantastic, Casey. Thank you. And you?
Blessed beyond measure, blessed beyond what I deserve, trying to be a good steward of what God's given me, and love interviewing you because I know how much depth you have to share with the world. So,
thank you.
Thanks for
great
your
time. Great to be with you.
I mean, you've had your company since, is it 1987?
Correct. In fact, we're coming up on 34 year anniversary in April, this next month. So tomorrow is April Fool's. And it was later in the month that I started the company, but it's going to be 34 years here in a month.
I'm trying to go, okay, how do I pack 34 years of wisdom into a short interview? It's going to be impossible. So we're going to possibly have to have you back. So let's start off with the question. How are you and your leaders right now navigating this market?
I think we're navigating it very well. It's an interesting market. You know, it was certainly got really volatile last year at this time.
Yes.
This year it feels a lot more stable than that, but there's still a lot of change we're dealing with. Hopefully people will be getting back to a more normalized, being able to interact with one another more as we go forward. But that's still kind of a yet to be seen, and we'll see how people return to work or don't return to work. But there's still some things to be seen, but I think we're doing well considering all that we've been through the last year.
It's interesting. So last year, around this time, March, April time, right, all of the margin calls were happening. There was complete chaos going on. And then things shift and everybody has the best year ever. So how does that happen? Right. So let's talk about culture, because you have an amazing culture. And I know from afar how respected it is and how much people love working there. So how are you? I'm assuming everybody's remote. How are you driving your corporate culture remotely?
Yeah, that's a great question. And probably, you know, there's a handful of things. Obviously, we've gone to lots of different Zoom calls. Everybody's living on Zoom these days. But I think that we've got, you know, a number of standing calls that we've incorporated. We always had, you know, group calls in it probably wasn't. In fact, I don't recall if we went to Zoom when the whole pandemic thing hit, or if we'd been on Zoom for 6 months or so before that. But the meetings are more frequent, and of course, you can see the faces, which is nice with Zoom. We were doing, you know, conference calls for monthly loan officer calls and things before that, and we've moved to Zoom. So we do a lot of regular check-ins, branch manager calls, loan officer calls. I do a monthly State of the Union call. And then we have really each team in the organization has their calls and check-ins with their team. And those are generally more frequent. Some of them as frequent as daily, and some of them, might be monthly depending on the group and the type of meetings. But if they've got, for example, numbers that they're looking at every day, and we're looking at metrics that we're measuring, like, you know, that are important, like turn times and quality and things like that, those are things that are generally getting looked at every day. So
do you think that what's happened over the past year has enhanced your culture, kept it neutral? In other words, it hasn't really impacted at all, or has pulled back a little bit from the day-to-day?
I would actually say it's probably a little of both. I think there's areas it's enhanced it. There's areas that are more difficult. I would say there's not much that's neutral. For the most part, I think it's better in some ways, in that we had to become better managers. And so from my standpoint, I think I really stepped up the frequency of my interactions. So our executive team now has a daily meeting every single morning at 9 a.m. And we have a number of metrics that we go through, you know, going around the horn. Okay. Yeah. And so that's been something I don't think we'll ever stop. It's been so powerful for all of us to get that daily check-in. And also it just, I found that, you know, where you sometimes as organizations grow, you'll find that silos happen and you don't necessarily have the communication. I feel it really has kind of broken down silos because everybody's kind of letting everybody know what they're working on at all, you know.
Sure.
If it doesn't come up on Monday, it comes up on Thursday or Friday. You know, it's like it, if you're talking every single day, you can miss a lot of things on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're still going to hear about it during the week.
So, you know, it's really been interesting to me because we used to, of course, same as everybody, right? You had corporate and then you had remote. Now everybody's remote. It actually has enhanced our culture and we were already good like you guys, right? What I miss is the hugs and I miss the interaction and somewhat that collaboration that you get in real time. I miss that part.
That's the part that I said, I think has gone the other way. So I think our culture is better overall, but I think that there are things that you miss and there's a certain amount of collaboration that comes from being in the room with people that I miss. I miss that too. Although I do think we've improved because of the frequency of the interactions has made the quality of our business better. And I've even found that even though I get exhausted sitting looking at a screen all day long, I've probably never been more focused than, you know, I've got my goals, my mandates in front of me, they're all sitting along my wall here. So it's like every meeting I have, I'm kind of refreshing myself on our business plan. Then I go into the meeting. And so those objectives that you're working on are always right up front.
It's you know, it's interesting when I look at what the culture looks like today in the country, like all the mortgage companies are going through the same thing, right? And we're all shifting the future. When I look at what it's going to be, right? We're going to be remote. Are we going to stay on the screen? I'm doing flexibility right now. I'm guessing you are as well. As far as, do you have employees saying, I want to stay forever remote?
We're completely, almost completely leaving that up to them at this stage. We're being very flexible. You know, we do have now what's interesting is we're finding that, you know, in some of the outlying areas, most of the people are in the office. And in some of our bigger offices, you know, our home office, for example, is, you know, I was there yesterday and I usually will greet, you know, 140 people. And I think we had 10 people in the whole building.
I'm deciding what to do with corporate space, as I'm sure everybody around the country is, right? I have a lot fewer people than with a lot more space than I potentially need. So what's your greatest priority right now that you're working on in this market, knowing rates are shifting?
We're really looking at well, there's a few things and one is kind of you know, working on some unique product that we're developing. So I would say that day in and day out, the priority is always blocking and tackling. Number one, my priority is always our people and just taking great care of our people and making sure that we're, you know, interacting with them every day. As we talked about a few minutes ago, trying to look at both the personal side, helping our folks to achieve their own personal goals.
Yes.
And looking for ways that we can incorporate that they have a lot of runway to grow here at Evergreen. So sure. I want if somebody has, you know, a goal to buy a house or buy a new car next year or has personal goals that might be financial that are in alignment with their doing their work here at Evergreen, I want them to feel like if they run hard here at Evergreen, they're going to be successful at home. And we also try to help them with balance and try to remind them, especially last year when it was hard to find balance and we're all getting used to, well, I'm working on my computer now. Does that mean I ever leave it or do I just go 24/7?
I know. I found myself working more and I know all of us did, right? Because you're home, but you also have that bad. I'm enjoying it. Never thought I would. Like I've always been that leader that I felt like lead by example. I was first at the office until I had kids. And then I had to literally bring everybody together because I felt so guilty because it sounds crazy. I wanted to take them to school. but I wasn't going to be at school at the office first anymore. And so I just brought them in and said, here's what I need. It's the highest priority is, you know, being a mom, taking the kids to school and then coming to the office. You guys are going to beat me in. I want you to know that pains me. But then, you know what, it actually, as transparent as it was, I think I gained more respect because I prioritized what was important. And that was my family. So I'm really blessed by that. But, you know, you're an executive leader, one that truly has a passion to lead others. So if you could share, you know, give me your wisdom, that 30 something years of wisdom. But what's the most important attributes of a great leader in your mind?
I think that for me, it's really about, you know, again, it's about building relationships with your team, helping them achieve their own goals, and then also building, you know, collaborating and building big, clear goals for the organization that people have the opportunity to participate in. And that, you know, it's just really fun when you feel like, and I feel like there's times when we go in and out of, you know, really great alignment. I think for the most part, we're usually better than many. But I would say that, you know, there's, I don't know if you read the book, The Boys in the Boat, but it's about the 1936 Olympic rowing team, which is actually from the University of Washington here locally in my neck of the woods. And, they won the 1936 Olympics, but to get there, it's really a story about the team and all the team members and how they came together from a diverse set of circumstances and how the coach, you know, would try them in different seats on the boat. And, you know, you need different, and I'm not an oarsman, so I don't know all the technical tactics and so forth, strategies, but you want to have, you know, a strong person in the front and a powerful person in the middle and somebody who can encourage everybody in the back of the boat, you know, and so there's all these different, and he would move them around through the whole season. And there were times when they described the boat when it was really going well, it was almost like it was whistling along just above the water. I mean, like the water's here and the boat's skimming over the top of it. But they said whenever one person gets one oar out of a line, it would suddenly go into a kind of a crab walk. And it created this picture in my head that I always think of when I'm running the business. It's like, are we skimming the surface and just flying straight ahead? Or are we doing a little bit of a crab walk because somebody caught an oar? And so most of the time we're skimming, but sometimes we catch an oar. And I think that it's just a visual I think about. And I think that when you're skimming, it's usually because people can see the goals of the company. They understand how their job that they're doing right now today at their desk contributes to the overall overarching goals that the organization's pursuing. Hmm. And so, I'm sorry, I forgot the question now. I think you were asking.
No, I think it's beautiful. It's attributes of a great leader. What do you think it takes to be a great leader?
So, but yeah, I'm just trying to keeping those goals up in front of people and helping them see how what the contributions they're making. And I always, you know, when I go around the organization, whether physically or on Zoom, I like to talk to every single person, including, you know, the person at the front desk, the person who's funding loans, the person who's originating loans, the assistants, and thank them for what they're doing, because everybody is making a huge contribution and everybody's contribution results in the success of the organization. I always like to say when I go in an office and somebody greets me there in the front, I say, you are our ambassador to the world. Your job is so important. And it is. Even my dog, Lily, she knows how important that job is. And so she's always reminding me, what about me?
What about me? Right. Well, mine barked. I don't know if you heard it, but I have a new puppy.
Oh, so, fun.
Yes. Well, he is a handful. So we got a little Aussie doodle. So he's 12 weeks old.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Ours is, she's going on 13, but she's feeling spunky. She's contributing more to my meetings since she's been 12.
So how do you like working from home, right? Because have you almost always gone in the office?
Yes, I've always gone in.
So this is a transition. It's not just for our employees. It's been for us as well. How do you like it? What are you thinking for you long term?
Well, for me, unfortunately, we've had, you know, the traffic in Seattle isn't the best in the world. And so my commute was about an hour each way before.
Oh, wow.
This happened when COVID happened. It amazingly, my commute went down to about 20 minutes. And then our bridge that comes into West Seattle, which is we're on a peninsula, and we had a bridge that we built 35, 40 years ago to last us for 100 years. Well, they decided that they forgot to get the longer term warranty and they only got the 35 year bridge. And so they've shut down, you know, it only carried 125,000 cars a day. So again, Lily does not like to have to swim across the river to get to the other side. But so my commute is still about an hour with lower traffic. And I suspect it'll go to 1.5 to 2 hours each way until the bridge gets fixed, which is kind of undetermined. So I don't know. I may be working for a while from home. I think I'll go in a couple of days a week, but it may not be 5 days a week.
Yeah, I haven't decided for me yet. I love the flexibility of working from home for sure. But, you know, again, I'm thinking I might do the same, like maybe Wednesday, Thursday, everybody come in that feels comfortable coming in and the rest of you stay home. But right now we haven't made any decisions yet. We're still flexible and I'm enjoying it. I've told the team they're working harder than ever. There's zero concern about trust and are you working like it would be in the old days, 10 years right. ago, right? So, because it was too hard and too much of a distraction, but you couldn't be in meetings anymore. I mean, now you can be, there's no difference between here other than the physical touch and the random collaboration, like, hey, have y'all thought about X, right? So anyway, I'm looking forward to things getting somewhat back into normalcy so I can hug and love on all my people again, but I really appreciate something you said. And, you know, building relationships with every team member matters.
Yes.
And, you know, do we do it enough? And executive leaders are so busy and we're all making decisions every day and their lives depend on us. And you sort of remind me, we got to slow down a little bit to make sure that we are building those relationships and that they know that they're loved and cared for. And so I appreciate that reminder.
I had a, you know, everything that I feel like I've learned, I've always learned by doing it wrong. For, in fact, I feel like I'm just starting to figure things out 34 years in.
Thank you for giving me permission to fail.
Well, we have a 1,000-year plan. I always tell my team, we got a 1,000-year plan, but I'm only running it for the first 100 years. Okay. So in 66 years now, you guys are going to be taken over. I want you to be ready. And so, the truth is, I think that having that long range plan is amazing, but I do feel there's a lot of things I've just figured out. But a story I'll share if, I don't know, I digress. Hopefully you'll get half your questions done and I'll, but maybe.
Right, go. I want to hear your story. I love stories.
I always tell stories, but the truth is I didn't used to be very good at it. And I would, you know, often walk in the office and, forgive me, turning off my little dinger there. And one day, and this was back when my kids were young, and I think I was having a struggle at school with one of them. And I was on this, you know, phone with the principal, and I got into the office that day, and I walked to my desk with the phone glued to my ear. And I went into my office and closed the door. And about 15 minutes later, there's a knock on my door, and it's Joe Moley, who's my right-hand guy. He was at the time, he's now running our servicing department. He's been with us for 25 years. And he says, "Don, can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Yeah." And he looks real serious at me, comes in, closes the door again. I think, oh boy, it must be serious. And he says, "I don't know if you know the impact you have on people when you walk through the office with a scowl on your face and the phone glued to your ear, and then you go in and you close the door." He says, "Everybody thinks that something terrible has just happened and maybe you've sold the company or something." And I said, "Oh my gosh." you know, I mean, I'm totally focused on inward toward me and about my challenge and what I'm struggling with that day. And I realized at that point, when I get out of my car, I've got to shift gears and be focused on what's happening in the office. And if I've got something going on personal, I need to take a break and deal with that either in my car or once I'm in the office, but not walk through the office. So, but that inspired me. And I thought, I wonder what it would be like. This was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe. And, you know, I'm going to just stop and visit at a few desks on the way. My office was at the back of the building, and I started making a point of being off my phone and stopping to say good morning to people. In fact, I started getting in a little bit earlier so that I could. And that had such an impact on my life. I mean, it's not only that I found and I started getting great feedback that I was making an impact on others. Wow. But the amazing thing is the blessings that come out of that go two ways, right? I mean, so it started filling me up with more joy and enthusiasm. And now I'm more involved and I know my people better. I know their families. I know what's going on because I stopped and said, how's it going? And not just to say, how's it going? But I would actually take turns and stay somewhere for 5 minutes and check in. And it made life more fulfilling. So I don't know, every year that I work, I enjoy it more, I think. And that's one of the most fulfilling things to me is just the relationships with all the people and trying to support them and seeing, you know, what I told you that David was able to do, was able to meet a retirement goal. That's exciting and rewarding for me. And over the years, for as long as we've been in it, I've seen people start families. I've seen their kids go to college. I've seen them then move to a smaller home. And so some of those things are really, really rewarding. But I'm just getting started. So
that's how I feel. I'm just getting started. It's interesting because you're right. Sometimes you just start figuring it out. No matter how much we've been taught, told, shared, trained, sometimes you have to fail forward, right? You fail, you figure it out. You go, okay, what did I learn from it? Your story reminded me of my husband and I were raising our nephews. So we had a 9-year, I'm not going to cry about it. But anyway, I had nephews for almost 8.5 years, almost 9 years. And in raising them, I'll never forget the moment that the 6-year-old, I'd come home, I pulled into the driveway. I'm on my phone, right? I'm pulled into the garage. I'm still on my phone and he's knocking on the window, right? And I'm like, shh, right? And he walked away and I saw his face. Because what I just said to him is, I'm on the phone. They're more important than you. And I swore from that day that I would never pull in my driveway on the phone again. And that when I came on, I would go around the neighborhood till I finished that phone call.
Right.
I'm on the car. But when I pulled in that driveway, if he came running to the car, it was open the door and big hug and all of that. And not ever, ever tell them that somebody on the phone is more important than they are. And so that reminded me of that story.
That's a beautiful story. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So I am so blessed, Don, beyond what I deserve for sure. So, all right. So tell me this. So I'll end it with this question because, again, I can't get 36 years into just a little bit of time with you. But if somebody's out in the market right now and they're trying to figure out what to do, they're in college. I had a young man in my home recently, and I want to see what you would have said to him because he came to me and he goes, hey, I'm getting my accounting degree. I said, okay, what industry do you think I should go into? I'm like, well, are you going into accounting? He goes, not really. I like numbers, but that's not what I want to do. He said, what's your advice? Now, of course, I got the mortgage business right here going, well, the mortgage business is really good to you. What would you say to a young man who's about to come out of college, even if it's not accounting, but that they're looking for a career?
I think the mortgage business has been, you know, I mean, I've talked to thousands of people who have been in the mortgage business, and every month I do orientation for a big group of folks coming on board with Evergrande.
Oh,
and every month I ask the same question. How many of you grew up dreaming about being in the mortgage industry? Almost nobody. One time I had somebody whose parents had run a mortgage company, and she grew up dreaming of being. But other than that, right, almost everybody falls into it accidentally somehow along the way. But mm-hmm. then it gets in their blood and they love it because it's fast paced.
Yep.
It has new problems to solve every day, and it seems to attract people who like a puzzle, who are problem solvers, mm-hmm. who don't like to do the same thing over and over and over. And so I feel that it's an amazing, and right now, I think more than ever before, both mortgage and real estate, and I look at the two kind of getting closer and closer together, because I think there's just a lot of things with technology where you really need to in some ways know both. Now, I started out my career in real estate and then moved into the mortgage industry. But I did pretty well in real estate. When I started my company, I was a loan officer, and I would go out and some of my old teammates actually said, "Hey, would you coach me in real estate? You had a great listing program. Would you share your listing program with me? And I'm sure we can do some business together." So I just thought, it makes sense to help others grow, and then you don't have to worry about your business. Well, I do the same thing now with loan officers, but I try to do it by helping them see how to grow, help their business partners grow, and then their success grows. And I feel that the same thing is true. I just feel there's so many opportunities and that the business is evolving so much that if we can be creative and leaning forward into both mortgage and real estate, there's more. I've never seen this industry with more opportunity than I see today. So I'm super excited. That's why I say I have to have 1,000 years to fit it all in. We've got that 1,000-year plan. But
well, I definitely advise him. I said, I think you should look into the mortgage business. His response is, "What do you think about commercial real estate?" I'm like, that one I'm not so sure of right now. Based on all the business owners that are probably going to pull back a little bit, but something to consider.
Real opportunities when there's a downturn. When I got into real estate, I don't want to admit, you know, how many years ago it was, but just a couple of years after I got in, interest rates went to, I remember that in April, we're in April now, and I think on April Fool's Day, almost as if it were a joke that year, and again, I won't say what year it was because I think it was like just a few years after the Revolutionary War, and the country was founded. No, it was a little later than that, but interest rates that 20 prime hit 21, I think, 21 and a half on April Fool's Day. It was at least 21. It might've been 21, but mortgage rates, you know, were 17, 18%.
I remember.
And I was selling real estate, and it was like, I was in an office full of people. And then there was just a couple of us because there wasn't anything selling. Cause you had to get people to come down 30% on their price to get somebody to go get a mortgage at 18%.
The worst markets are sometimes the best opportunities.
Well, I more than doubled my income that year because I was scared to death. And it was the first time I sat down and really made a business plan. And so I focused on helping people who couldn't sell their homes to get them sold. I did an expired listing program, but that was the year I really took off in my business. So I think there's opportunity in every market. So I guess your question to commercial real estate, hey, this may be the best time to get into commercial real estate.
True.
If somebody can figure out how to solve problems for the people who are struggling in this, you know, for the owners who are probably trying to get their space leased today. So,
anyway. Well, you know, there's a whole aging conversation happening in our industry about the aging sales force, bringing in new talent, new skills. So I advise the young man, I said, I think you have a huge opportunity if you get the right training, and I might know where you can go to get that training. So anyway, my advice
amazing
is
amazing training at that.
Amazing. Right. I said, my advice is you got to go shadow into the field that you're considering and see if it's suited for you. Make sure you go in with eyes wide open, not just for income opportunity, because income's irrelevant when you love what you do and you wake up every day. It'll come. It will come.
You'll never work a day in your life if you love it.
Exactly right. And I don't feel like I work a day of my life. I'm really blessed with that.
I don't either. I love it. I love it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed seeing you again. And look forward to seeing you soon.
I need to have you back so I can hear some more stories.
Oh, I've got a lot of them.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, you take care and we'll talk soon.
Have a great week. Thank you, Casey. Take care. Bye bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts or on our website at zenix.com/InsideTheMortgageMind.